This lesson is MS, the main stuff.
Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hello, Pastor Dave.
Did you hear what the temperature is going to be here in St. Louis today?
Yes, a high of 85 degrees. And it's
and,
when we record this, it's February.
Yeah, but I also heard that Winnipeg, Canada, which is just across from Detroit, is zero right now.
Unbelievable.
And that is going to be moving down, that tonight it's going to get really cold.
Oh, no.
Not to zero, but 30 at least.
Don't take the warm blankets off the bed.
Oh. You know, when you think about weather, people are almost never happy.
True. True. Some people say it's too hot.
And others say it's too cold.
Some people say it's too rainy.
And some say we haven't had rain for weeks. It's dry.
And it's the wrong temperature for February. As I was just saying, it should be cold. And it's not. And yet, I want to go out and enjoy the weather. Tell me how that makes sense.
Oh, my gosh. And maybe it is just that we as humans complain. Or maybe it is just we wish we had something we didn't have. Well, you know, today's lesson is going to talk about complaining and wishing what we don't have.
And the results.
And the results. And where is the line in between the want, the wish, and the need? Should we go into room 4216 and let's hear what God has to say? Well, now that we move on to chapter 11 of Numbers, it's really an amazing chapter, Cecilia.
It is.
As we read through it in advance and prep, there's really three significant parts, maybe even four. And I'd like to cover this just in quick synopsis before we delve into it. One, the people are grumbling because all they got is manna, and so God's going to give them quail.
Mm-hmm.
And then part two, Moses goes and it almost sounds like he's complaining to God, but he's bemoaning to God. And then God decides to do something about that to help Moses. That's part two or part three. And then after all of that, we come back to the people complained again.
Again, yes.
So we have complaining of the people, and then Moses complaining to God, and then people complaining again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the summary of it all.
But don't forget, we've got then God's answer first to Moses and then to the people, and they're very different answers.
Ooh, good point. Yes. So let's take a look at the first part with the first few verses.
And the Bible of Living Sound does a great job with this. So let's listen to how they interpret this.
And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the pillar of cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran.
Well, I must say Moses has picked a fine site for our new camp.
It's half a mile to the nearest water.
When you get there, there isn't enough water.
At Sinai, we at least had grass for our cattle.
This is about the worst desert we've been in.
Trust Moses to lead us into it.
What I'd like to know is, when are we going to get to Canaan?
Never, if you ask me.
Well, I've just about had enough.
Me too. If only we'd stayed in Egypt.
I'm sick and tired of living in a tent.
Egypt was paradise compared to this.
And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord.
Fire! Fire!
Hiram's been hit by lightning!
His whole tent's on fire!
Oh, it's the Lord's doing.
God is punishing us!
Oh, there's fire everywhere!
Moses! Moses, help us!
Oh, pray to the Lord, Moses, and stop the fire!
Pray for us, Moses! Only you can help us!
Isn't it a perpetual state that I'm in, Pastor Dave? The state of confusion. I remember way back when we did lesson one, that I said I didn't want this to be a, gosh, Pastor Dave, I didn't know that. But it seems like I'm always saying that.
So what's your question
I'm confused
now?
Again. They're about the timeline.
Oh.
They're setting out from Mount Sinai?
Yeah, and that's when they complained. Yeah, okay. Let me try to set this up. So they were in Egypt, and they left Egypt, went to the Red Sea, mm-hmm. and got part of the Red Sea. That journey in and of itself from Goshen to the Red Sea was at least 3 days journey.
Okay. Because
they talked about going out into the desert for 3 days march.
Right.
And then they crossed the Red Sea. The Red Sea destroyed the Egyptian army. They traveled for a month or two in the desert there. And then they finally came to Mount Sinai, which is another month or two. They've been at Mount Sinai for about a year and a half.
Okay, so they were a month or two from the Red Sea into in the desert to Mount Sinai then? Or are we talking...
Well, I'm not exactly sure on how many months, but it does say they were 2 years out from Egypt when they set away from Mount Sinai here in chapter 11. So we know they're 2 years away from Egypt. And much of that time, probably a year and a half of it, was sitting there getting the commandments from God, making the temple, not the temple, the tabernacle, all its furnishings, and then getting more directions from God. And then now finally they're setting out again.
Okay, so Mount Sinai was a short, relatively short distance, a month or two or whatever.
Right.
But then they spent a year and a half or so, when they said they're 2 years out from Egypt. They're basically talking a year and a half sitting at Mount Sinai. I hadn't thought about the idea that it took time to weave the linen and make the metal things and the wood things for the tabernacle. They wouldn't have been able to do that while traveling.
Right. And this is probably what led to the part of the complaining here in chapter 11, verse 1. We're not really told what they're complaining about. It might have been, it just said they were 3 days into the journey from Mount Sinai and they were complaining. And some probably were, my feet are sore. Oh, my muscles ache. And some were saying, well, we can't see the mountain as good. And why aren't we there yet at the promised land? And why did we have to go anyway? We really don't know what the complaints were, other than that they were groundless, baseless grumblings without a cause other than ugh. And that's why God got upset at them. He had been taking care of them for two whole years. If you remember, in Exodus chapter 15, they were hungry. They were a week or two out of Egypt. They were starting to run short of food. And they complained with a cause. We need food. So God sent manna. And they have been having manna ever since. Mm-hmm. And then they talked about, we don't have water. So Moses hit the rock and they were given water. Chapter 16. Right. Chapter 17, we want some meat. And so God sent some quail. This will come up again here in this chapter in a moment. But God was taking care of them all these 2 years. And now 3 days out and they're complaining.
Just
like, what's going on here? And that's why God got angry. And not just that, but he punished them. All of the complaining previously, they had cause for complaining, ran out of food and water. The complaint was to God, but now they were just complaining. And that's why God sent this fire on the outskirts of all the people.
Oh.
And it was enough to warn them that what they were doing was having a spirit of complaining so they would stop. Boy, this says a lot to me. You know, yeah, life can be rough. Life can be tough. Life can be difficult. But are we murmuring and muttering? Or are we praying and going to God and asking him for help?
Boy, after the fire in the camp, you'd think that they would get it and would stop complaining.
Yeah.
But no, nope. The rabble with them had to keep the complaining going.
It's an interesting phrase, the rabble. And several translations talk about this group. And looking in the commentaries, it refers to the people that came out of Egypt that weren't Israelites, but Egyptians, those who believed that God was going to destroy the firstborn. So they put blood on the doorpost and lintel so that they'd be saved. And they left and walked with the Israelites through the Red Sea. Oh. So these were Egyptians who were saved because they believed in the promise.
Sure.
That's what it means by the rabble.
So why the rabble? Why did the foreigners themselves start the complaining instead of the Israelites in general?
I think it was because they left because they believed in a promise, where the Israelites not only believed in a promise, but they had the stripes on their back and the marks on their legs from the beating and abuse of slavery that also drove them. And they were looking to the fact that they were freed from all of that, and God did it. With a rabble, they just had the promise. I shouldn't say just the promise, because that's all we have too, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And they started complaining, the rabble. Oh, I wish we had food like we had in Egypt.
The leeks, the melons, the cucumbers, the fish.
Garlic. And all of those things are good when you get them. But they're forgetting the fact that they're in the desert and they wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God giving them the manna. And God had been feeding them for 2 years on this manna. I guess they just were tired of the manna. But well, it gives us the illusion that they were able to, in verses 5 and 6, use the manna and make it in several different forms, add it with olive oil, that they could give variety to the flavor. And it was not something like you get, oh, not another one of these. But it was enough change in the palate. Well, and God kept their clothes from not falling apart. So God kept their taste buds from not distasting the manna. And yet, they grumbled, they complained, we don't have meat.
You really think that he kept their taste buds from, picture it, if one of your favorite foods, if I were given steak every day, at first I'd think that would be wonderful. But I know from experience that after a while, it wouldn't be so great.
Pizza is one of my favorites. And I remember in high school having pizza every night for a week. I think it was 5 out of 7. I didn't want pizza then for about 5-6 months.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, God can do these things. And sure, he helped it so that they weren't distasteful of the manna.
So why did they complain against it then if they hadn't gotten tired of the taste?
They listened to the foreigners who made them start to think back rather than thinking forward to the promise and the promised land, and seeing that God had provided for them already. They were looking backwards, looking back to what they once had, rather than to what God is giving them now. Oh my gosh. And isn't that a phrase? And just even as I say that, I think to myself, and I want to slap myself on the face. How often do I do that? I wish I had this, I wish I had that, and not realize the goodness that God is doing right now. We're not that far away from these Israelites from the desert, and they're complaining. This time, though, God really is wanting to work with them and change that spirit of discontent so that they become a people trusting the promise.
But if the foreigners, you said that they were the ones complaining, they were the ones saying, oh, if only we had the leeks and the cucumbers. And yet you say that the taste buds of all the people didn't get tired of manna.
They were thinking of something they didn't have. And really, Cecilia, isn't that what lust is?
Yeah, I guess it sort of is. I mean, you love Deb, and I know that you're very obvious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you've told me that once or twice you've heard a voice or something and you have thought, wow, I like the way that person speaks or something about that person. Yeah.
And it, And if I kept on thinking about that person, and what could it be like? And oh my goodness, all of a sudden it'd be a full-blown affair. Mm. That's how lust starts. Absolutely. Same with coveting. It's wanting what you don't have.
That is
wanting what you don't have. You love keyboards. And I remember you saying you put your fingers on a keyboard that was so much better than yours. And
oh,
you were thinking about it and not your keyboard.
Yes,
that's
coveting.
That's what they were doing, thinking about what they didn't have. And that's what God is trying to help you and me to remember what he has given us, to be thankful for that and not just be thinking about what we don't have. Now, where's Moses in all of this? You know, the first complaining in verses 1, 2, and 3, that general complaint, was very much quiet, and only God heard that. But the second complaint for meat and the grumbling, that one was an out loud one. Cecilia, would you start reading verse 10, chapter 11?
Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now, if I have found favor in your eyes. And do not let me face my own ruin."
Now, I don't want to make light of Moses, but oh my gosh. And it's easy. We, centuries later, can look upon him. It's kind of like he had such an extreme thought of himself. He's going to take these people? He is doing this all? Do you know, I counted as you were reading. He said, "I, am I to do this? If I can see them?" 6 times. And he referred to me and my 8 times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he's all focused on him. But who is really the caretaker? Who is the one providing? God. And he just was so focused on himself, he couldn't see that. Sometimes it's like us, though. I don't know. It's sometimes like me.
Yes, it is.
And it's a Bible verse I memorized, and I repeat to myself, especially when I'm having one of those bad, horrible, no good, miserable, rotten, ugly days, and nothing seemed to go right, and I'm thinking, "Oh, poor me. It's just terrible, Lord. Just let me die." Mm-hmm. Do you know Matthew 11, 28 and 29?
Sure. Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Jesus' burden and yoke easy and light. Now, it doesn't sometimes seem that way, but it really is. Just trust him to take care of it. That's what Moses wasn't doing, trusting God at that moment. And that's what I often do too. I don't trust God. He will provide, especially when we're weary and heavy laden. He can carry the world on his shoulders. God so loved the world, he took it on himself, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're just like Moses. We get our eyes off of God and get it on ourselves. But we need to get them back on God. get them back on God. You know, as I just stop and look back on this chapter, I can't help but think about humanity in general. Why is it we just tend to grumble and complain?
Because we want something, or we need something. We think we need something, and we don't have it.
Okay. Yeah. But doesn't that beg the question, or lead us to a fundamental problem when we say we want something, we need something, and we don't have it, so we're going to complain?
You're right. It's like we're saying, God, you're not doing a good job, and I could do it better.
But well, who of us will admit to saying that? But
yeah,
I think you're right, Cecilia. Really, that's the fundamental problem with it, is we're saying, God, you're not doing a good job. And really, isn't that what we have here with Moses when he complained? So, I mean, if I complained about you, that you're not sweet enough, cute enough, smelly enough, or whatever,
I'd shoot back at you, Willip.
Yeah. But God being the bigger person, excuse the pun, he's God. He doesn't shoot back. What does he do with Moses, who grumbled and complained that he had too much work?
He gave him help.
Yeah. Took that spirit and put it on 70 others to help him with the work.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, when they complained, we want meat, what did God do?
Well, in that case, I have to say that in some ways, God shot back at them. Because he shot, he sent quail and more quail and more quail and more.
So much quail.
They
what
gathered
did the text
six
say?
Bushels of it per person.
Oh, my gosh. And they dried it and everything. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. That's what you think you want is more. Okay. I'll let you be God for a day. And how did that turn out for them?
They weren't happy with it.
Yeah, they weren't even happy with it. Wow. But he didn't throw them into the sea.
No.
He didn't smote them. He didn't send them to hell. He was patient with them. Isn't it just a wonderful description of who our God really is? That even when we think he's not doing a good job, he does what he knows needs to be. That's exactly what he did for us when we fell into sin. He did exactly what we needed. He sent a Savior.
Yes.
And he loves and forgives us even when we grumble and complain that the Savior ain't saving us from enough. He still loves
yes.
and forgives.
Like me saying last week about I thought that I needed more instruction, but he gave us just the instruction that we need.
Yeah.
His Savior, his word, all of it.
God is all-powerful, but it doesn't mean he has to use that all the time, because he knows it isn't good for us all the time. Just like the people with the quail. Oh, he gave them what they wanted. And you know, sometimes if we would pray and ask God, and he just, like a grandpa, give us whatever we asked for,
we wouldn't be happy.
Oh my gosh. I think that's really the lesson to learn from Numbers 11. We better let God be God and not us. Instead of grumbling and complaining, we can, like Moses, go to God, ask him.
And trust that he loves us enough to do what's best for us.
Yeah. Boy, it sure comes out there in this chapter. And Lord, help us. Because, you know, off mic, you even said about Matthew 11, burden is easy and my yoke is light. Sometimes even just trusting in Jesus for our salvation is hard.
Amen to that.
Yeah, but God helps us even when we struggle. We'd love to hear from you all, people, of how you're struggling, but how God has helped and blessed you. Mm-hmm. You can do so by writing us.
Info. At not-alone.
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E.
.net.
N-E-T. And remember, We
are not alone.
Do come back again to Room 4216.
Credits. The Bible in Living Sound. www.bibleinlivingsound.org. And, of course, our thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.